would be helpful if you hold a sidur from the slichot. I just gave it out. So take one from there, from the... the white ones that are right by the bima there. We'd like to maybe glean some pearls from the slichot, to have an overview of the tefillah of slichot. I know that, you don't say slichot every day. I understand that. But we do come sometimes to hear the slichot. Maybe you do on your own, could be. And also, most of the prayers of the slichot are said during Yom Kippur. And also, and by the way, this is the last one before Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so we need to have some kind of idea, concept, before we enter into Rosh Hashanah, what our tefillot are about. And most importantly, if we want to know what we have to think about, what are the thoughts that we're supposed to be having these days, approaching Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, where do we look to? I mean, we could hear thousands of speeches. We could hear thousands of lectures. We could read hundreds of books. And they're all beautiful, wonderful, and engaging, and inspiring, and everything. But when you want to know what is the core of what the Yamim Noraim are about, we have to look to the origins. We have to look to the early ones. What did they say about it? What did the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah, what did our Chachamim of thousands of years ago, what did they feel during the month of Elul and coming up to Rosh Hashanah? And you know what? We actually have access to that. Not only in the Talmud, there's an entire Masechet called Masechet Rosh Hashanah. It's beautiful. All about Rosh Hashanah. And then you have an entire Masechet all on Yom Kippur. It's called Masechet Yoma. Entirely on Yom Kippur. But not only in the Talmud. In our Sidur, in our Machzor, we have the thoughts, the feelings, the inspirations, the desires, the wishes of our great ancestors. Who wrote the slichot? Who put it together? Who put together the prayer, for example, the famous prayer that we say so many times standing up on Yom Kippur? El melech yoshev al kisei rachamim umitnaheg b'chassidut. Who wrote that? You know how old that is? It goes back over 1,500 years at least. That's how far back it goes. Anshe emuna vadu baim b'choach ma'asehem. We repeat this, we repeat. Say it by slichot every day. And on Yom Kippur, we say it five times. You know, each prayer on Yom Kippur has a slichot with it. Arvit, the night of Kippur, is followed by slichot. Shachrit is followed by slichot. Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah. So that means we're saying slichot five times in the span of one day, all on our feet, all day long. And in the slichot, we keep on repeating many of the tefillot, come up again and again and again. What's the purpose of saying them so many times? There's some tefillot that we actually say only on Yom Kippur 26 times. You know which one that is? Hashem, Hashem, El Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed V'Emet. 26 times we say it, just on Yom Kippur. Every day in Slichot, 5 times. So I mean, do some math. I don't know. 5 times 40, that's already 200. Add another 26 of Yom Kippur, that's 226. I know on Shabbat we don't. Okay, so you could minus, let's say, 4 or 5. Around 220 times in a span of 40 days, we say the 13 attributes of Chesed. El, Rachum, Bechanun, Erech, Apayim, Berav Chesed, Ve'emet, Notzer Chesed, La'alafim, Noseavon, Bafesha, Vechata'a, Venake. 13 attributes, characteristics of kindness that Hashem revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu over 3,000 years ago. In Parashat Ki Tissa, it's in the Torah. That's already a pasuk. That I don't need to tell you that Chazal wrote it for us. It's a pasuk in the Torah, and we say it over 220 times in a span of 40 days. By the way, that's in addition to what we anyway do every Monday and Thursday. Every Monday and Thursday, we say it 3 times. So, isn't it obvious that it behooves us to, you know, to look into these words and to see, obviously, if we're repeating these words so many times, that means there's something there that we need to feel during Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. So you could have an amazing lecturer who gets up and he speaks, and Baruch Hashem, recently we had the zechut to have a few great speakers in the Bet Knesset. Bet Knesset was filled, was packed. So beautiful, it was so good to see. You know? And they were home runs. I mean, you sit there and you're mesmerized listening to them. So beautiful. Anyone who didn't have the opportunity to be here, it's recorded, we send it out. Very nice. But, okay, first of all, tonight you're not sitting with any kind of a speaker. We're learning together, right? It's nice to hear an entire lecture on something, on a concept about Rosh Hashanah, which is true and beautiful. But can we touch a little bit the feelings of the old, of our ancestors? What did they feel? What were they thinking? And so I think that if we look through the pages of Slichot, it's a study in itself of what we're supposed to be thinking about, what we're supposed to be praying about, what are we supposed to work on as far as emunah, bitachon, what are the concepts that we need to come in to Rosh Hashanah with a stronger conviction about them. So I said to myself, you know what? I've been doing this over the years. From time, I have a special notebook at home that only about Slichot. Thoughts on Slichot to myself. Every year I tried to add a few more. This past week I said, you know what? I'm going to go through, just peruse, just flip through the pages of the Slichot and try to see, are there a few concepts that go throughout the entire tefillah. And I realize that you can say there are, the title is Avinu Malkenu, which means our Father, our King. Those are two concepts. Hashem is our Father and Hashem is our King. And branching out from those two concepts of Avinu Malkenu, I think we have at least 4, and I hope to get to them, to all of them, 4 concepts / feelings / ideas that are woven throughout the entire Slichot, that are under the title of Avinu Malkenu. All right, so let's just review that structure for a moment. Avinu Malkenu. Avinu is going to branch out to 2 concepts that I will say in a minute. Malkenu will branch out to 2 other concepts that I will explain as well, and show examples throughout Slichot. Really, this should be a lecture for 3 hours. But as much as we can, whatever we can get to, where we find these 4 ideas repeated and going deeper and deeper and deeper into our heart. Which means those are the feelings that our kadmonim, our forefathers, felt and gave over to us and wanted us to feel as well. So I'm not going to give you any kind of flashy, you know, ideas here that you never heard about before. I think that everything I'm going to say tonight, you know clearly already. And to demonstrate them in some, select parts of the Slichot. So that's why I gave you the sidur so we could go through some pieces together. But before we do that, let me just lay out to you at least let me do this before I forget, because I might not get to it. Let me just say, what are the four concepts, the four themes that are found in the Svichot? Okay, so this is sort of tonight is an overview of our Slichot prayers. Hopefully in a systematic way. The first concept, and without any particular order of importance or anything, just the first concept. So I called it for myself the urgency of achieving forgiveness. The urgency. We see throughout Slichot, and I'll show examples, how we are desperate to ask Hashem to have compassion on us. You know, this morning, I'll share with you something. I had no idea I'm going to say this to you, but it just came to my mind right now. When I say the word urgency, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say this. I was saying Slichot downstairs with the second minyan in the morning, and a precious Jew, I'm not saying, a great guy, everything, sitting down during Slichot with a cup of coffee, with the machzor on the table, he's looking inside, we're saying, I don't know where we were, I don't remember, whatever, Hashem, answer us. It was on the table, he's with his cup of coffee. Oh, I remember, it was during Adon HaSelichot, okay? So during Adon HaSelichot, he's looking in the Siddur, he's holding a cup of coffee, and even from time to time, peeking into his phone, scrolling on his phone. I said, wow. I didn't say a word to myself. It was a very interesting sight that, look at that. Look how comfortable we feel with Hashem. We are literally saying the words, Chatanu lefanecha rachem alenu. Hashem, we sinned before you. Have compassion over us. And we are stretching out our hands with a cup of coffee. And the other hand might even have the phone. Baru, ze baru, bevadai. No. Absolutely, ladun lekav zechut. You know, I'm not, and that's why I love this person with all my heart. I promise you, and he's great. And I hope he doesn't hear this. But I'm just trying to give a picture. We all, maybe I shouldn't say we all. I'll speak for myself. We all do this in certain ways of our own as well. What's my point? Sometimes we might show a lack of urgency, which means we're so used to saying the prayers that we know we're supposed to say them, and we even do. We're observant, we say the tefillot, but we're so used to saying them that we don't really say it with enough feeling of begging. You know, to repeat the word, urgency. And that's one concept that I see throughout the Slichot. I want to put that, we'll revisit that. I'm going to come back to that with certain examples. The second concept that I think is woven through the Slichot, all over, in Hebrew it's called Shituf Im HaKlal, to join ourselves with the people. Meaning we're not doing this individually alone. We're together in this. And that's very important that when we come to say slichot, to ask for forgiveness, to do teshuvah, to become better, it has to be with the frame of mind of betoch ami anochi yoshavet, that I am with the people. I'm coming with the zechut of Am Yisrael. You know, in the Lashem Yichud, in the preparational prayer before every mitzvah, we say very key words. You know what we say there? Beshem Yichud, Kodesh Baruch Hu Shechinte, Beshem Kol Yisrael. In the name, on behalf of all of Israel. You know what that means? That means every time I do a mitzvah, even in the privacy of my home, I'm doing it Beshem Kol Yisrael. I'm doing it on behalf of all of Am Yisrael. We're never doing something alone, absolutely. No. We're always together. And that's crucial to understand, because chas v'shalom, if a person is going to be on his own, it's not going to work. We have to feed off of each other's merits. We have to feel that we are together with that zechut of that unity. And I'm not going to go into achdut now. That's not what necessarily what I'm talking about, although it's very much connected. But the idea that I rely on the zechut of all of Am Yisrael, and it's more than that. Shituf im haklal v'im avotenu hakdoshim. When I say to join the Jewish people in prayer, it doesn't just mean the Jewish people of the present, but we call upon, we appeal to the merit of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aharon. How many times in Slichot do we find where we all of a sudden mention, De'ane l'Avraham Avinu Be'ar HaMoriah, the one who answered Avraham on Har HaMoriah, the one who answered Yitzchak by the Mizbeach, the one who answered Yaakov in Bet El. If you don't believe me, here, let me tell you which page this is. You could look this up right now, and you'll find it on page 47. Okay, very quickly, take a look on page 47. I know it's familiar to all. It begins, De'ane la'aniye anenan. What does that mean? It's a nice play on words. Look at that. De'ane la'aniye anenan. The one who answers the poor, please answer us. Anenan. The shul says it responsively. The chazan says, De'ane la'aniye, everyone answers, anenan. De'ane la'ashike, the one who answers the suffering people, anenan. Answer us. And then all of a sudden, after the first four or five, we begin to call upon De'ane le'Avraham Avinu, De'ane le'Yitzchak al gabe metbecha. Do you see it there? De'ane le'Yaakov bevet el, De'ane le'Yosef bevet asire, the one who answered Yosef in prison, De'ane le'Moshe va'avotenu al yamsuf, the one who answered Moshe and our forefathers on yamsuf before it was split. De'ane le'Aharon b'machta, the one who answered Aharon HaKohen when the plague took over and Aharon took the special shovel with the spices of the Samim in order to bring back life. De'ane le'Pinchas b'shitim, the one who answered Pinchas when he prayed. De'ane le'Oshua on page 48. De'ane le'Eli, we go through the entire history. Look at this. Shmuel, David and Shlomo, Eliyahu Anavi, Elisha, Chizkiyah, Yonah, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Daniel, and then my favorite one, Daniel, Mordechai, Esther, Shushan, Avira. We bring in every Ezra, Bagola, Choni, Magal, and that's it. I mean, we could go on forever. I mean, but you see the idea here, and we find that in Rachamana, Itkalan Zechute de Avraham Rechima, Rachamana, Itkalan Zechute de Yitzchak Akeda, Rachamana, O kind one, please remember for us the Zechut of Avraham, O kind one, remember for us, O merciful one, remember for us the Zechut of Yitzchak, Bedil Vayavor, because of your 13 attributes of Chesed. Multiple times throughout Slichot, we are talking as a people, but not only as a people of the present, but together and connected with the past generations. That's real joining together. So that's the second concept. You might ask, I said Avinu Malkenu, so, you know, this one is Avinu. When we are together as a people, and when we are, you know, appealing to the merit of those that came before us, that means we're looking at ourselves as one big family. All the children of Hashem. That's the aspect of Avinu. The first concept that I told you, the first theme, the urgency, the feeling of urgency, right? Not walking in, you know, to Slichot with a big milkshake or whatever it may be, but to feel some kind of feeling of trepidation, that's Malkenu. That's our King, right? So those are so far two themes. I promised you four. Number three, a theme that is interwoven into the Slichot constantly. In fact, this one that I'm about to say is almost every other sentence. You would think that what should most of the sentences of Slichot say? Forgive us. If you ask anyone, what's the word that is most common in the prayer of Slichot? If he doesn't know, then he'll say, Slicha. Sorry, forgiveness, right? Actually not. You know what's the word that is, or phrase, I should say, that is most common in Slichot? I mean, to no end. Hashem aseh lema'an shemecha. Aseh lema'an shemach, aseh lema'an amitach. Please Hashem, do it for the sake of your name. Not because of me. Not even because of us. We don't kid ourselves to think that we deserve to come back every year to demand forgiveness just like that. No. We don't deserve that. No. This is absolute kindness. But, that was the fourth one, kindness. Let's not get mixed up. The third one is, Aseh leman shemecha. Do it for your name, Hashem. What does that mean? When we say, Aseh leman shemecha, what do we mean when we say, do it for your name? That means we are acknowledging that we as Jewish people, we all share one goal and mission and task. And that is to sanctify the name of Hashem. We have to represent. We have to represent Hashem in the world. The way we walk, the way we talk, the way we behave, even the way we think, has to be Kiddush Hashem. That's the third theme. I'll come back to it in a minute. The fourth theme is Rachum V'Chanun. Hashem is all merciful. Hashem is kind to no end. Actually, that's the core of Slichot. What is the core? What's the basic part of Slichot? What's the most important paragraph in the Slichot? The Yud Gimel Midot. Hashem, Hashem, El Rachum V'Chanun. What is that about? It's 13 ways of His kindness. Whether from the angle of compassion, whether from the angle of grace, whether from the angle of patience, Erech HaPayim, the angle of forgiveness. 13 different manifestations of kindness. Chum, Chanun, Rav Chesed, abundance of kindness. What does Rav Chesed mean? You say he's a Baal Chesed. You say he's kind. Why do you have to say now Rav Chesed? How does that add? How is that a separate midah? A separate, you know, attribute of kindness? When you say someone is kind, and then you say he's very kind, did you say two separate things? No. You just said that his kindness is very much. It's two separate things. How is that? How is Rav Chesed a separate midah? It means that wherever we look in this world, all it is chesed. Now that takes study. That's something else. That's already, it's not just saying that Hashem is kind. You see, you have many people who are kind, who are walking around and they're very kind and nice people. That doesn't mean everything they do is kind. That takes it to a whole different level. Rav Chesed means everything in this world, absolutely, and I'm including in that even that which does not look kind, is kindness. That's Rav Chesed. We look at the sky, it's Chesed. We look at the earth, it's Chesed. We look at each other, it's Chesed. We look into our parents' eyes, it's Chesed. Children, it's Chesed. Food, is everything is kindness. Sleep, we want to go to sleep, right? I'm doing a good job helping you. We want to go to sleep. Sleep is chesed. Waking up in the morning is chesed. Everything, everything, everything. That is a whole different midah. That's why Rav Chesed is separate than Rachum or Chanun. That's the fourth theme of Slichot. So now, very quickly, what are they? Sense of urgency. A sense of unity, meaning we are coming at this together as a whole. 3, Kiddush Shem Shamayim. Our mission in life is to sanctify, is to bring honor to His name, Leman Shemecha. And finally, 4, His great mercifulness, His kindness, His mercy. Now, let's go through some pieces in the Slichot. Okay? Let's start from the beginning. Tell me if this is familiar to you. On page 21. Ben Adam Malecha Nirdam. On page 21, we start off the Slichot. Of course, the first part of Slichot is Ashrei Yoshev Etecha. That's on page 19. Okay? Ashrei Yoshev Etecha. That Perek in Tehillim is a study in itself. We'll leave that for now. But officially, we begin Slichot with a song, with a poem. And the truth is, we don't know who wrote this poem. It's very old. It goes back at least, you know, centuries back. I don't know about 1,000 years about this one. But centuries for sure. We have it in the old Sidurim of Spain. So that's at least 500 years ago. We're not sure who wrote this. But it is filled with the heartbeat of the Jewish people. Ben Adam, malecha nirdam, kum kera betachanunim. You, Ben Adam, O human being, talking to us. Malecha nirdam. Why are you so sleepy? Why are you falling asleep? Kum, get up. Kera betachanunim. Call out to Hashem and plead with Him. Betachanunim. Now, this verse of the poem is a paraphrase of a pasuk in Yonah that we read in the Haftarah of Yonah on Yom Kippur. Remember when the boat was rocking and they didn't know what to do? There was a storm, and the boat was going to shatter, was going to break. And they find Yonah in one corner, the prophet Yonah, sleeping in the corner of the boat. So the sailors, non-Jewish sailors, told him, "Who are you? What are you?" He says, "I'm a Ivri, I'm a Hebrew." You know, in the olden days, they didn't say to the non-Jews, "I'm a Jew, I'm a Yehudi." They said, "I'm a Hebrew, I'm a Ivri." Whenever they spoke to non-Jews, you'll see in the Tanakh, it doesn't say Yehudi, it says Ivri. That's how the non-Jews knew us, Hebrews. So he spoke their language. You see in the Tanakh, when we're talking to each other, that's where you see Yisrael or Yehudi. It's a side point. So, Ivri Anochi, he says, "I'm a Hebrew." So they told him, "Ben Adam, malecha nirdam, kum kera el Elohecha. Kum kera el na betachanunim, el Elohecha. What are you doing? What are you sleeping? Get up and call out to your God. We're dying here." So this has been the, you know, the cry, the call of every morning to wake up people early to go to Slichot. The old minhag of Jewish people to wake up 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, to come to the shul when it's dark and to say Slichot. Some in midnight even. And in some countries, in the old countries, they used to have like a shamash. The gabai would walk around town with a stick and he would knock on the doors. And he would tell them, "Kum kera malecha nirdam. What are you falling asleep? What are you sleeping? Get up, come." So as we start the Slichot, the poet begins with those words. Ben Adam malecha nirdam. But it doesn't just mean to wake up in the morning. It means to wake up in the morning of life. Every person looks into himself and he knows his age. Okay? We're not going to ask anyone how old they are. All right? We'll keep that. And he thinks to himself, what's going on? How long am I going to continue and not change? But I'm still young. I still feel young. You know what? I have time. When I, 60, 65, 70, 75, okay, then I'll, I have nothing else to do anyway, so then I'll do teshuvah. The poet is talking about the morning of life, not just the morning of every day. Ben Adam, malecha nirdam. What are you sleeping? A 10-year-old should do teshuvah when he's 10 years old. A 20-year-old, it's getting late. A 30-year-old, it's getting late, but it's better than 40. 40 is better than 50. 50 is better. 90 is better than 100. The earlier, the better. Never procrastinate. That's what it means, Ben Adam, Malecha Nirdam. Why are you falling asleep? The Rambam writes famously, I'm sure you heard this many times, what's the purpose of the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? You know, the Rambam was a very rational thinker. He didn't write, you know, Kabbalistic ideas in his book and that he left for others. It's even a whole debate. Was he a Kabbalist or was he not? It's a whole fame. It's a controversy. Did he know Kabbalah? Did he not know Kabbalah? The Rambam, Maimonides. But in his Mishneh Torah, in Ilchot Teshuvah, Ilchot Teshuvah Perek Dalet, when he writes, what's the reason we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Famously he writes, the shofar is telling us, Uru yesheni mishenatchem, venirdamim akitsu mitardematchem. Uru yesheni mishenatchem. All you sleepers out there, wake up from your sleep. Get up from your slumber. What is he talking about? At night? The sleep of night? No. The sleep of life. We go through life, routine, by rote, habit. What was yesterday is today, and what was today is tomorrow, and what was tomorrow is next week, and the same, and Rosh Hashanah comes and goes, till when? The shofar is supposed to give us a little shudder, a little wake-up call. That's Ben Adam Malecha Nirdam, the sense of urgency, it's getting late. I have to do something. I have to change. Yes, I've been doing this for the past 55 years, for the past 45 years, for the past 35 years. Does that mean that I have to continue? Does that mean that I have to continue doing the same thing? But that's how I always did it. That doesn't mean we have to continue the same way. If there's something that I can improve upon, so what if I always did it that way? That's called sleeping. That's a slumber. Malecha Nirdam. Kum kerav etachanunim. Notice how the word dorm, D-O-R-M, which has to do with sleep, dormitory, right? In French, means to sleep, and in other Latin languages, that's the same letters as nirdam, resh, daled, mem. Transpose the letters, it's the same word. Comes from Lashon HaKodesh. Wake up. Sense of urgency. Look in the third line. Rechatz uthar ve'al te'achar beterem yamim ponim. Wash yourself, purify yourself, and don't ve'al te'achar, don't procrastinate beterem yamim ponim, before the days go by. So you see clearly he's not talking about just the morning sleep. He's talking about the days of our lives. How lucky are those who are still young. Youth is the greatest gift in the world. I don't want to say the famous statement that everyone says, right? The saying, youth is the gift that is wasted on... I won't finish. Right? But it's a gift. It's a gift to be young. Why is it a gift? Because you have the chance to wake up earlier than other people and to accomplish so much more. So a 49-year-old should think to himself, what a gift it is that I'm 49 and I'm not 59, and I'm not 69 and I'm not 79. Yeah, instead of focusing on the fact, boy, I remember when I was in my 30s, what happened? Oh my goodness, next year it's 50 years old, what's going to be? Okay, still young, you still could change, you could still accomplish, you can still do. So to take advantage of the fact that we are still able, that we have energy, take advantage of that. To take upon ourselves something new. Doesn't have to be something grand. Usually when we take upon ourselves something, okay, that's it. You know what? I'm walking out of here, and every day I'm going to say the entire Sefer Tehillim. First of all, who said that's what you're supposed to do? That's number one. Number two, that's not practical. It's not happening. You might do it the first day, if even... That's not going to last. A person has to take upon himself something that he knows he could do. Please excuse me when I say he. I'm just used to talking that way. But he or she, right? It has to be practical. But we have to feel that sense of urgency. Look what it says in the middle there. The next sentence. Umipesha v'gamresha Berach ufchad me'asonim. Pesha, sin, resha is wickedness. From sinful wickedness, berach, escape, ufchad, and fear, be scared of it, me'asonim, from tragedy. Now, if you would ask someone to explain, what does the poet mean when he says that? What do you mean tragedy? So probably you'll hear people explain as follows. If a person sins, then lo alenu chas v'shalom, punishment, tragedy, can come, lo alenu. Right? So run away from sin, thereby running away from tragedy. It's not necessarily what he means, although that's true, right? But it's not necessarily what he means. The sin itself is a tragedy. Berach uvchad me'asonim. Those who speak Hebrew, ason is a very heavy word. Very, very sad and powerful word. Ason, Hashem yishmerenu. Hashem should save us from asonim. But when we say asonim, normally we mean tragedies. Sins themselves are a tragedy. That's the tragedy that we have to run away from and try to become better. Is there any bigger sense of urgency than that, than calling it asonim? And he goes on and on and on. There's so much to speak about in this beautiful piece. I want to focus on another part for the next 2 minutes, with your permission. Okay? Turn to page... Oh, here it is. Page 58. Turn to page 58. On the top of the page, you'll definitely recognize the tune immediately. Atanu levakesh mimecha kapara. Right? Famous tune. By the way, many of the tunes that we have in Slichot are shared by almost all Sfaradim. It's a fascinating thing. There are many tunes, not all of them, but many tunes of the Slichot are the same tune if you're a Persian, if you're a Moroccan, if you're a Syrian, if you're Iraqi. One of them being this tune, by the way. This tune is all Sephardic. All Sfaradim say this tune. Maybe if I would do some research musically, I will find that there is something in the Ashkenazi Slichot that also resembles this tune. But what is my point? My point is that points to the antiquity of this tune. That means it's very old. That means it's not recent. That means it goes back at least to Spain. Because if we all share it, that means that's how we did it back in Spain 500, 600 years ago. So many of the tunes, Anenu, for example, Anenu, Elohe Abraham, everybody says it like that. Everybody. Maybe some minor, you know, nuances. But it's everyone has the same. That means it goes back a very long time. It's very holy. The tunes already became infused with holiness of the Jewish prayers. So I know we're about to end. So let me just share with you the feelings and thoughts in this paragraph. Atanu levakesh mimecha kapara. Hashem, what does the word first of all atanu mean? Atanu means we have come. We approach you. Anachnu ba'im. We approach you, levakesh mimecha kapara, to ask from you atonement, ayom venora, O awesome and fearful one. Atanu levakesh mimecha kapara, ayom venora. Misgav leitot batzara, the one who is our protection in times of trouble. And now we turn around and we actually make a promise. And I love it because we all sing it. And you know, when you sing something, so it's like happy and it's nice and everyone enjoys it. And also because you say it every day or you're used to it, so we don't really think about what we're saying. We are actually making a very big commitment here. Look what we say. Techayenu. First of all, what's techayenu? Hashem, give us life. Give us life. Techonenu. Give us grace. Which means not just life, but a graceful life, right? With respect, with parnasa, with good health, with good family, and so on. Techayenu, techonenu, uvshimcha nikra, and we will call out in your name. Which means we're saying to Hashem like this. Look, you gave us life till now. Last year, Rosh Hashanah, we said, Zochrenu lechaim, Hashem give us life. Oh Hashem, He gave us life. Here we are. Here we are. And we should be till 120. But we look back and we say, what did we do with it? What did we do? Did we do enough? We did a lot of good things. A lot of good things, Baruch Hashem. But could we have done more? Look what we're saying to Him. Saying, Hashem, please, could you give us another year of life? And we make a promise, Uvshimcha nikra, we're going to call out in your name. What does that mean to call out in Hashem's name? Does that mean to say, Hashem? Yes, that's true. That's calling out in His name. It's a good idea, by the way, from time to time. Just make sure nobody's looking. Yeah, and do that, right? But that's not what it means. That's not the only meaning. In fact, that's not the real meaning. It says about Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, you know, lived the life of a traveler. He never lived in a house, by the way. And not because he couldn't afford it. Avraham Avinu was very, very rich. He was a multimillionaire. Avraham Avinu ve'Avram kaved b'mikne b'kesev u'b'zahav. Avraham Avinu was very, very rich. But he never lived in a house. He always lived in a tent. Why is that? He always lived in a tent. You look in the Chumash, always tent, tent, tent. Lama. You know why? Because he was a traveler. And he never stopped being a traveler. Why did he travel? He traveled up and down Eretz Kenan, camping, where he's going to stop and give lectures. Every place he stopped, he set up shop. And how does the Torah tell us he set up shop? Vayiven mizbeach Lashem. He built an altar. Doesn't mean necessarily to bring on it sacrifices. No. He built an altar, meaning it was a, you know, place where he stood to speak to multitudes of people. The Rambam says, tens of thousands of people came to hear Avraham Avinu. Every time they heard he's in town, tens of thousands of people came to hear him. And the Torah says, what did he speak about? Vayikra sham b'shem Hashem el olam. And he called out in the name of Hashem. What does that mean? That he set up a standard and he shouted the name of Hashem to people? It means he spoke about Hashem. He taught people about Hashem. That's what it means. That's what Uveshimcha Nikra means. Hashem, give us life. And I promise you, I'm going to talk about you. I'm going to make you known. It doesn't have to be on the grand scale like Avraham Avinu, going all over the world as a speaker. There are those who do that. That's beautiful. But what does that have to do with us? Uveshimcha Nikra means within our circles. To the next one to us. Guess what? To ourselves. Talk about Hashem. Talk about His kindness. Dispel this myth that the world is a bad world. Anyone who ever says that this world is a bad world should know he's not speaking against the world. He's speaking against the Creator of the world. Because the Creator of the world says this world is a good world. Vayar Elokim et kol asher asa v'hineh tov me'od. Talking about Hashem means talking about how good things are. That means a person who's complaining, a person who's negative, that moment, who is he not talking about? For sure, he's not talking about Hashem. You might think he is. In fact, many complainings are always directed to Hashem. How could He do this to me? What do you mean? I just heard someone a week ago. I didn't hear the person say it. Someone told me that he was told this. And he asked me, how do you reply to such a person? What did he tell me? He said, someone told him, a colleague of his at work, said to him, ever since I began keeping Shabbat, all my problems began. So someone asked me by the Kiddush last week, last Shabbat, how do you answer such a person? I don't want to go into how to answer right now. That would be a whole shiur in itself. It's important to know how to answer that. But that's usually when people remember to talk about Hashem, when things go bad. So we have to know that's a myth. you don't know him, if that's how we talk. If we remember Hashem only by negative, it's not Hashem that we're remembering. Because he's all Rachum, Chanun, Erech Apayim. He's Rav Chesed. That's called calling out in the name of Hashem. That's why we say Hashem, Hashem. El Rachum v'Chanun, Erech Apayim. What are we doing here? We're calling out in his name. Uvshimcha nikra. We make a promise to Hashem, Techayenu, please give us life. Like David HaMelech says, we say it in Halel, Lo amut ki echye, please Hashem, I don't want to die, I want to live. What's the next words? Va'asaper ma'aseya, so that I should speak over the deeds of Hashem, so that I will tell over the story of Hashem. Our mission as a people is to represent Hashem by the way we think, by the way we talk, by what we say, and by the way we act. Everything about us should be Uvshimcha Nikra. So we have to remember, we're making that promise. You don't want to make that promise? Then skip this piece. Don't say it. But guess what? The whole Slichot is filled with it. Leman Shemecha, Leman Shemecha. For the sake of your name, for the sake of your name. You can't escape it. We cannot ask Hashem to forgive us when we don't know his address. His address is goodness. If we think we're talking to some kind of mean ruler who's out to get us, there are people who think like that. There are people who think God is someone who's out to punish us. And by the way, many times it's our fault that people think like that. When I say our, I don't mean anyone here, but it's the way we bring up our children. It's the way we talk about him. Many times the way it is done is in a way that retribution, punishment, bad, evil. That's a big mistake. Not that there is no punishment. Of course there is. Of course there is. But punishment itself is good. And like I tell you all night long, that's a subject for a different time, obviously. I've been planning on talking about that. I still didn't get to that. The goodness of punishment. Where is the chesed in onish, in tragedies? It's a very, very sensitive topic, not an easy one. Still hard for me to get myself to talk about it, but there's a lot to say. But one thing we have to know, Rav Chesed, if we think Hashem is evil, that's the wrong address. Uvshimcha nikra means, I promise to talk about you. I promise to promulgate your name. I want to make you famous. I want you to be known in the world. And guess what? A Jew who walks out with a kippah is telling the world there is Hashem. A woman who walks out dressed modestly, covers her hair, or whatever it is, dressed as a Jew, the world takes notice. Anyone sitting here who walks outside in the daytime from far is spotted. That's a Jew. We can't run away from that. That's a fact. So make sure that we represent. Because if you think people are looking at us and we could somehow camouflage ourselves and hide, you know, maybe put on some cap or whatever. You could put all the caps you want. We are Jews who look like Jews. There's a kedusha on the face of a Jew. And I mean that with all sincerity. And so the way we walk is Uvshimcha Nikra. The way we talk, the way we do business, the way we act in a store, the way we talk to our relatives, to our friends, it's all Uvshimcha Nikra. That's what Slichot is filled to the rim with. So we spoke about the theme of how urgent it is to try as early as possible, as soon as possible, to take upon ourselves something, some kind of improvement. Obviously, talking to myself, some kind of improvement to become better as early as possible, not to procrastinate. Don't wait for Rosh Hashanah. Right away, immediately. And the feeling of togetherness. We're not doing this alone. And we're not doing it alone as a nation. We are connected to our past. To Abraham, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov. And that's why we look to what they did. We learn from what they did. That's how we identify ourselves. We identify with them. We relate to them. Those are our role models that we relate to. That's the second theme. Kiddush Shemo Yitbarach, sanctifying His name, as we just spoke about. And the fourth thing is His chesed. Rachum v'chanun. If it's not for His grace, if it's not for His kindness, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have the audacity to come on Yom Kippur and to say, Hashem, You forgive me, yeah? We go back a long time. It's okay? Please, give me life. Techayenu, zochrenu lechayim, melech hafetz b'chayim. Kotvenu b'sefer chayim. Write us in the book of life. But what do we finish with? Lema'anach elukim chayim. For Your sake. For Your sake. Many people ask for life. But the reason why they want to live is to eat that bagel in the morning, to see that show at night, and so on and so forth. How am I not going to see that? How am I not going to eat that? I can't live without it. No. Zochrenu lechayim, because I want to do something for You. I want to do something bigger. I want the world to know You through me. That's what gives us the right, the zechut, to come to Hashem and to say, please give me another chance. And give me another chance. And give me another chance. And again, and again. And guess what? Hashem is so graceful. He gives it again, and again, and again. He's so patient with us. If you ever have a chance, and I'm going to conclude with this. If you ever have a chance to look up the book, it's a small book. It's called Tomer Dvorah. Okay? I'm sending you home with homework to look up, how do you call it when you look up a book? Book reference? I don't know. Like, what? It could be difficult, but it could also be read in a plain way and understood. There's a lot of help out there with English translation and elucidation. Don't discourage us. Tomer Dvorah. Tomer Dvorah is a wonderful book. It's a small pamphlet. Tomer Dvorah was written by Rabbeinu Moshe Cordovero. He was the Rebbe of the Ari HaKadosh. He lived in the 1500s. The book is based on the 13 midot, the 13 attributes of kindness. He explains each one separately and how we can emulate it in a very practical way. Okay? Maybe next time we'll actually study from that book a little bit together. But if you're looking to buy a good read, or rather a good study, Tomer Dvorah. Go for it. That's a good preparation. If you want, you could also look up YU Torah online. I have a series on the entire book from beginning till end. If you didn't have enough tonight, you could refer to that. But that's just a plug-in. Buy the Sefer, Tomer Dvorah. It's a holy Sefer, by the way. A Sgula L'Arichut Yamim. It's a very powerful, very, very holy Sefer to learn. They say a lot about it. So that's a good thing to take home and to do. So thank you so much for coming. I really, really appreciate you taking your time and coming. Have a great night, and if we don't meet again before Rosh Hashanah, so Shana Tova Umvorechet, a beautiful year filled with life and blessing and happiness and good health.